So welcome to our July 17th Shamanic Mentorship Session. I want to say hi to everybody who's going to watch this on the recording, because I know a lot of you have to do that sometimes. So I just want to say hi to you as well. And I'm glad you're checking it out. Let's see if I can get this in a better spot here. And we just pulled angel cards for everybody. And that's always fun. I got to get all my mojo over here closer to me. So I want to just make a couple quick announcements. October retreat here just near Asheville is almost full. So even if you don't have your deposit yet, go ahead and send in your application. And if you need to get that again, just email Madison at the support@bloompost.com email. Really excited that it's filling up and I feel the energy building, and that's really exciting. And also I posted about the in-person four-month training that starts here where I live outside of Asheville in January, and we've already got 5 people interested, and I'm going to cap it at 8. So if you're somebody who's been considering it, you're probably going to want to go ahead and send in an application, and I will start the interview process with people really soon. And everybody who's in the 4-month training will have to be in the mentorship as well, because what we're doing here in the mentorship really creates a lot of consistency. And it's really neat to be able to, when I get to talk to some of you, either in person, at the ceremony, or however we get to connect in between these sessions, it's really great to get your feedback and hear how the consistency is helping. And I really appreciate the advanced students sharing about their, how they shamanic journey and giving you tips, or even just sharing what happens for them so that you can get confirmation or affirmation about what you're doing, new ideas. Just see that it's different for everybody. I did specifically ask them to do that. It's not necessarily something that's comfortable for the advanced students to make videos and do all that personal sharing. I'm really proud of them for doing that. That's a big stepping up into leadership and allowing themselves to be seen, which is a big thing for a lot of people in this work. Just being seen in your life. And so using this container to allow yourself to be seen, to practice being more comfortable, allowing yourself to be seen in the larger world experience. So I'm very proud of them for doing that. If you haven't been able to check out the typed up shares or the videos, I highly encourage it, because it's great to hear how other people are doing things. It just gives, I find that it just gives lots of confirmation for how you're journeying, and also ideas, because everybody does it differently. And if I only share from my perspective, then it doesn't really give you a big enough picture of all the different ways it can work. So check those out if you haven't checked those out. Before we journey, I want to mention a couple things actually. Let me see where I want to start. Sandra Holden posted about doing Qigong in a shamanic journey because she's hurt her knee or something. And she hasn't been able to do Qigong as often. And now she's more able to do Qigong because she's been doing it in her shamanic journeys. And that reminded me to remind you, when you want to manifest something, health or a future experience, go experience in shamanic journey, and it will empower you with more grace and ease to get there. Just like an athlete who's getting ready to dive, they visualize the dive before they do it. They see themselves completing it. And this is a really great and simple, simplicity being really good, simple way to visualize healing or manifesting of things that you choose to embody and create. So when you go into the realms in a shamanic journey in your safe, sacred space and experience yourself having that experience, that's not good languaging, but you know what I mean. When you have the experience within shamanic journey, then couple things can happen. One, it can begin to manifest in the third dimension, or you'll have the experience and then get clarity on if you really want to manifest it. So when I was in, and you don't have to do this in plant medicine ceremony, but I was with a teacher in plant medicine ceremony, and I lived through a felt sense lived experience within journeying of getting married, having a couple kids, those kids having grandkids, And then getting old and my husband passing away, and then it was my turn to pass away. And one of the reasons I went through that journey is because I have not had kids in this lifetime. I have not birthed children in this lifetime, and I do not have children. So I did not choose to have children. However, there was always kind of that, what would life be like if I had had kids? So it was really neat to have this journey and have that felt sense lived experience. And then when that was over, the next day, I didn't even realize what had happened. And suddenly I just went, oh, wow, all that wondering, have I missed out, was gone. It was completely gone because I had the experience. I saw my grandkids. We were playing at the ocean. And, you know, and I grew old with my love, and he passed away. And then even when it was my turn to pass away, I had that experience of feeling some fear, but then my guides came around me and the angels came, and I immediately felt comforted. So that may or may not be something specific that you want to do. If there's something that you've kind of not done in this lifetime and want to have a felt sense lived experience, you can do that in shamanic journey. And it might be, because for me, it was a great way to let go of the what if and the wondering, and now that just doesn't pull on me. If I were younger and was choosing to have kids, then I would have a shamanic journey and visualize myself with family in order to help sing them into this realm. I'm big on singing children into the space. So I wanted to mention that because it really does empower manifesting when you have a felt sense lived experience of something, which you can do in shamanic journey. And I don't know if I've specifically talked about that before. And so when Sandra mentioned that, I encouraged her to continue to do Tai Chi in her shamanic journeys in order to heal her knee. Because sometimes if you just focus on healing the knee, there's a lot of stress and wanting to fix it and wanting to get well really fast. How about just seeing yourself healthy and well doing, not Tai Chi, Qigong, because that's what she's doing. But whatever the thing is, if you're not able to hike for some reason and you want to be hiking, see yourself hiking in shamanic journey, go hiking. It's great basic way to start shifting energy. And by basic, I mean very easy to work with. It's so easy that people forget to do it. And what I love about these practices is that often the simplicity can bring the biggest transformations. We don't have to overthink it and make it really hard and have lots of steps. So with that in mind, I saw my own death and had that whole experience. Over the last weekend, just a few days ago, I went to a weekend training with an organization called Enelda, and I'll post links in the Facebook page and a group page, and I'll ask Madison to send them in the email as well with the recording. Enelda is an organization that does end-of-life doula training. Doula is like a midwife. Little different. I'm not going to get into all that, but it's really end of life support, end of life midwifing. It's also called death doula, but not everybody likes that name. And I have often been called to support people as they're dying or support their families as someone's dying. Generally, I get called after someone dies because people are concerned about that person or if there's been a traumatic experience. And I decided I wanted to get a little bit more of the technical information. And so I decided to do this training, and I just want to mention it to you because, one, I have death on my radar right now, and our theme for this month is freedom, and death is freedom, in my personal opinion, and it's also the thing that keeps us from freedom because there's such a fear of death. And so the biggest thing I took from the weekend was actually not so much doing the work the way they do it. It's a little more mainstream than how I work, which is great. We need people to support in hospice. We need better understanding of death and less fear around it, less stress and anxiety, and a way to better support people. We're midwifed onto the planet when we're born, but not always midwifed when we're birthed once again into the oneness. And I do feel that's an important space for people to hold. So if you're interested in that training, check it out. I am not going to complete their certification because I don't feel called to that. They do have one And I like that they have a more intensive certification process, because you can actually just go online and do some online videos, and certain places will say, okay, now you can be a death doula. And I would like, if someone was going to offer their services, I'd like for them to have more experience than some, you know, an online training. I'd like for them to have hands-on experience with that support, which Inelda gives you. The neat thing that I got from it, what I realized on Saturday, because on Friday I thought, why am I here? A lot of the stuff they were talking about, I've already done in the world, and I wasn't quite sure why I had signed up. And on Saturday, I realized, oh, this is why I'm here, because I had never considered planning for my own death. I have a living will, which probably was done a gazillion years ago and should be updated, but I didn't think in terms of holding a vigil, having people hold a vigil for me, or holding a vigil for others, someone who's dying, how I want to be taken care of if I am not conscious, you know, before I'm dying. Like if it's a situation where you can plan for it, how do I want that to look? And we were asked to answer in our workbook these questions about where do you want to be? Do you want music? What kind of music do you want? Will you want to be touched? Will you want essential oils? Will you want candles? Who do you want around you, you know, when you're conscious or after you're not conscious? Just all sorts of questions that I really had not ever considered. And maybe some of you have, but I really found it humbling and powerful and empowering to consider my death in that way, in that logistical way. It really brought it home, like, oh yeah, right, okay, let me plan for this in an intentional way if I get the opportunity to have that kind of intentional dying. And also just be real solid about, I'm gonna die one day. Wow. And we all know that, but I don't walk around thinking about it. You know, we live our lives. So that was really powerful. The thing that struck me is that everybody was talking about they wanted to be at home and they wanted to be in their bed and they wanted candles and music and all these things. And I was like, oh, hell no. You take me outside. If you have to lay me down on the ground, you put me under a tree. I was just like, I could not believe how adamant I felt about not being inside. If I am dying, I do not want to be stuck indoors. I was like, if you have to just lay me down under a tree and let me go, you do it. And I didn't know I felt so strongly about it until I had to answer these questions. So this is something that I want to put into a more specific form, and I wanted to put it on your radar. It's important to consider. It allows you the opportunity to be intentional in that way. And it's not something that people necessarily want to talk about. There's another link I'm going to post for you all. It's called Five Wishes. And they ask the questions of like, who do you want taking care of your dying process, and how do you want to be treated? And it's like these five main questions that you can answer. And even if you just answer it out of curiosity of what you'll say, I really encourage you to look over it. It was very affirming, but also interesting. And I surprised myself when I was answering the questions. And another piece that they did was about legacy. And they work with people about creating a legacy. If you have someone that, say, knows they have 3 months to live, creating a legacy that can be shared with their loved ones. So maybe it's something physical, or maybe it's a video, or whatever it is. And we were asked to create a legacy project idea for ourselves. And I didn't have anything to write down, because I'm living my legacy project in all the work that I'm doing. And that made me really happy, because I could tell by the way people were sharing that they were talking about their legacy as something they still want to do. A lot of them were. And I just thought, I want to be living my legacy now. I don't want to be at the end of my life wondering if I have a legacy, if I have purpose. And this shamanic work is very much about empowering you to recognize your purpose, your soul mission, and living the life that you want to live. Sitting with ayahuasca and certain other plant medicines is about learning to die before you die. And what I realized in this weekend was I am living the legacy that I choose to leave behind. I feel really good about that. And I also realized there's a couple things I haven't done that if I don't do that before my deathbed, I might not be happy about that. So let me look into that as well. There's these things called RUGS, regrets, unfinished business, grief, and shame. And we got to look at that as well as all the yummy legacy stuff. So I really enjoyed diving deep into conversation and topics that aren't necessarily talked about in daily life and that I don't necessarily work with here intentionally, but I'm going to start. We need to be dying before we die. We need to be comfortable with our death and intentional about it. And living, for me, working with plant medicines, learning to die before I die means I'm fully living. And that feels really powerful. And that is a legacy, to really live your life just like the nectar, just, you know, as you bite into a peach, of the nectar of life floating down your face, like just, I don't even have words for it. So it's like, mwah, you know, so I was really happy to feel, happy is such a funny word, but I felt a lot more peace knowing that I'm living into my legacy now. And I want to empower other people to do that. And I really believe that our legacy is how we've been on the planet in general and how we've walked our walk. Some people have children and that's a beautiful legacy. Some people have music or books or community things they've done or whatever. But really, you know, stories was what was most important to me. When we had to create a vigil for someone as a group, I wanted to be the one who brought everybody together to tell the stories so that we could remember, because the physical stuff isn't as important to me personally. So I'll post the links to that training and also to that Five Wishes, which you can just download and print it if you're interested. And I really encourage you to just take some time and check it out and be willing to look at that part of the living process. It was really, really enlightening and I enjoyed it for that reason. And I would like to do some journeying tonight with that in mind. Going into shamanic journey, and there's a few things I've talked about that I just want to put on your radar for your journey tonight and let you decide where you'd like to go, what you'd like to work with. But I'd really love for you to go into shamanic journey, into your space, connect with your guides, and envision, live into something that you haven't done yet or experienced yet that you would like to, especially before you die. You know, regret is a really powerfully draining energy, and regret can kill people. It really can. So let's go into journey and start living into the things you choose to not leave behind as regrets. And also allow yourself to do things in the realms. Like if you're having a knee issue, allow yourself to do things in the realms that you could do without a knee issue, to empower that healing with the intention of healing, because it is very much about a vibrational experience. When you're in shamanic journey, your body, your energy body believes it's happening. So when you're in a shamanic journey, and let's say you're doing Qigong with a knee issue, just because I've been using that example, your body believes that you're physically doing Qigong, because your energy body is telling your physical body that's what you're doing. And then your physical body starts vibrating differently. And it's like writing a new memo. He goes, oh, we're doing Tai Chi now. We're healthy. Great. We can do this. And that is one of the biggest powers of shamanic journeying, is that you get to determine your vibration and you get to tell your third dimensional experience what you want to have happening. And you have that power. You have that medicine. You have that ability. So let's use it. Let's play with it. Let's have fun with it. There is a shamanic journey I did a long time ago, probably before the mentorship. It's somewhere that the energies took me, and I'm going to take you there after we do some of your own stuff. I'm going to let you kind of work with envisioning and living into some things that you would like to manifest in your journey. And then I'm going to call you back to your sacred space and to your guides, and I'm going to take you, I call it through the looking glass, because that's how they said it to me when they took me there. What I realized, though, that was when I went through, I hit that last portal, and it was as far out as I could possibly conceive of going, and everything shifted. It was these, well, I'll just tell you briefly, it was these black crows that were flying me through it, but then when we went through, it's like it shattered open, but it wasn't a shattering, and they all turned white, and then everything just went, and it was just total oneness. And I don't even know how long I floated in that. And that's what I perceive as death. And there might be other stuff that happens afterwards, but that felt like I had just gone into a death state and gone back to the oneness. It was very interesting coming back because I was by myself working with my guides. So they were leading me. I didn't have a person there walking me back. That's why a tether is good. That's why we create a sacred space so you know where you're tethered to and where you want to get back to. That's why the maestro sings the songs. You need that tether to when you need to remember where to bring your focus. So we'll do that at the end. And when we do that, I'm going to let it be quiet and give you a minute or two to just be there. Don't worry about if it doesn't make sense. Don't worry about if you don't feel it or if your monkey mind starts. Don't worry about it. Just do your best. It can take practice to step out of the monkey mind and just dissolve into oneness. And it can also take overcoming fear. And death and surrender like that is very fearful. It creates a lot of fear for people. So that's normal. Be easy on yourself, okay? So why don't we go ahead and get comfortable and just take some nice breaths into your belly, ground your energy. Invoking the pillars of this temple, Archangels Michael, Ariel, Uriel, Gabriel, Raphael in the center, Xenophon above, Metatron below, Zadkiel, Melchizedek, Saint Germain, Saint Cyprian. Activating this temple grid space so that we are all linked within this medicine world for the duration of this session. Only pure love and pure medicine are welcome in this space. Just continuing some nice breaths into your belly to help ground. And just take a moment before you go into your journey. Just take a moment and check in. Where am I in my body? Just asking yourself that. Where am I in my body right now? Just bringing awareness to that. If it feels good to stay in that part of your body, then stay there. If you'd like to shift it, maybe come into a more grounded place. Into your heart, into your dantian, into your koshko, your core. You can do that as well. And so taking a moment to find your portal door. And stepping through it into your sacred space. And connect with your guides. Just take a moment. We're in no rush. Just take a moment. Connect with your guides. Connecting with your sacred space in a very felt, sense, lived experience kind of way. And connecting with your guides with the intention of something that you would like to experience in the realms that perhaps you have not experienced here, something maybe you've wanted to experience, or if there's an injury or something that you'd like to heal and you'd like to feel that experience. Just allow them to take you on a journey to support you in having that experience within this shamanic journey. And allow yourself to really flesh it out and feel it fully. Wherever you are in your journey, take a nice breath into your belly, staying present with your journey. You can come back and visit this place of living into this experience. And find yourself there in your sacred space, surrounded by your guides. And just take a moment to envision, who would you like to have with you as you are dying? What would you like to have with you as you are dying? How would you like it to feel? Where would you like to be? What's the legacy you would like to leave behind? And take a moment and envision yourself in that space, the ideal, beautiful, powerful, intentional death, birth into the oneness. Just feel yourself surrounded by who and what you love, transitioning in a way that feels supportive to you, knowing that you are held in that process. Feel your guides with you if you'd like. Any energies that you want to have with you in that space. I want you to feel yourself rising up from that space. We'll ask the crows to take us through the looking glass. And just allow the crows to support you in leaving this earthly realm, making your way beyond air, beyond ether, beyond stars, beyond, beyond, beyond. Just continue flying through this spaciousness, faster and faster and faster and faster. Just continue to move toward that tiny speck of light. And as you make your way towards that brilliant light, find yourself bursting through and into the oneness. Dark in hell is mighty deep. Dark in hell is mighty deep. Estreitas mighty deep. Estreitas mari, cielo, cielo, mari, cielo, cielo, mari, erasina, mari, erasina, mari. Peace, peace, Marini. Peace, peace, Marini. Stillness, stillness, Marini. Stillness, stillness, Marini. Oneness, oneness, Marini. Oneness, oneness, Marini. Spiral, spiral, Marini. Spiraling, Marini. Oneness, oneness, Marini. Oneness, oneness, Marini. Oneness, oneness, Marini. Oneness, oneness, Marini. Breathe into your belly. Gracefully, gently making your way back to your sacred space. I encourage you to take a moment within this space to really appreciate your body, your breath, this physical experience, your humanness. And appreciating the beautiful time that we have here while we are here. Appreciating all the parts of our body that we'd like to have different, appreciating the parts of our life that we'd like to have different. And breathing into your belly, remembering that it is all possible. You are possible. And of course, telling your guides, thank you. Any of them that would like to come back through your portal door are welcome to. You'll want to feel them, see them circled up with you there in your physical space before you close the portal door. And just take your time in opening your eyes and reconnecting with your body, just slowly starting to move and back into this physical experience. I encourage you to drink a little bit of water. Just a little light journeying for your day. Let's go die together. Good times with Bloom. Yeah. I was when I was at this, I'm giving people time to get back. When I was at this weekend, a lot of people asked me about my work, because when we introduce ourselves, they ask what we do for a living. I tried to keep it short and sweet. But these women were asking me about my work, and I was giving them, you know, the elevator spiel, just to tell them briefly what I do. And one of them looked at me and said, I bet you do a lot of shadow work. I was like, yeah, you got it. I don't know if anybody else got it, but you got it. So she would probably very much appreciate the work we did this evening. So Gina Marie, would you unmute everybody, please? Just want to do a little, oh, wow, that was quick. Thanks. Want to do a little checking in. Now, I also want to mention that if you did not have time to really complete any part of this, feel free to go back and do it on your own and take the time that you want to take to do it. Since I'm working with a group, I have to kind of average out. I can tell that some people are moving quickly and some people aren't moving that quickly, and I just do my best to track the energy and give everybody enough space and time to get what they need to get out of it. But some of it might have, might have gone a little quick for some of you. So please know that you can go back. And if there's something else that you want to experience that you didn't get to tonight, that you'd like to have that felt, sense, lived experience, go do it anytime you'd like. It's a great way to really manifest things into the third dimension. So I just want to check in. If anybody would like to share, I'd definitely like to hear. You don't have to get into personal things if you don't want to get into that. I want you to feel comfortable with what you share, but I would just like to hear how that was for you. I was thinking about you, Erin.
Obviously, I've been, I think that might be Judy. I'm going to just mute. Let me see if that's, I was hearing a lot of like wind or something. It's interesting because this subject is up, you know, just up in my life, just in general, like just having those uncomfortable conversations with family and just talking about death itself is, it's just really interesting timing. But one of the things that I noticed about the journey itself was, ironically, like I when we started to leave and we were going into the oneness, I could feel actually how attached I am to my life. And I could feel it. And I could feel also like my heart, like I felt like there was something in there that I was like, no, I can't go yet, you know? And so it was interesting to have that experience to really feel it. Cause I think I expected that I would feel like, you know, about going into the oneness or something. And then I had this really interesting experience with my guides where they were like, I know, isn't it so delicious to be in all that pain? And like, just all that drama. It's just so delicious. And so it was interesting just to have like, just not what I had expected. And so I had sort of a different perspective on what's happening in my life right now with my mom and just being like, because sometimes when we're, I feel like, I know for me, when I'm in it, like in the story or what's happening, like I can forget. I can just kind of, I just forget a different perspective. So it just offered a different way for me to look at it. And also, honestly, like how much I love my life and how grateful I am for my life. Mm-hmm. So those were the most significant pieces that came out of that journey for me.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. I always, when people come and sit with me and say, I'm totally fine with death, I just kind of chuckle because, you know, I just chuckle because most of us aren't. I feel like what we're okay with is when we're already dead. Yes. The actual dying is not necessarily something that people are super comfortable with. And that attachment that you mentioned is so powerful. It's so powerful, that attachment.
I also just wanted to share, because I just remembered when you said, I had a really hard time with the piece about like how, like who I'd want around me, where I wanted to be. The one thing that I was clear about was there was a particular place, and it is in nature, that I wanted to be. But all of a sudden, I felt like I was kind of walking around like, I don't know. Gosh, I'd never really thought about that. But then there were certain people that came to mind and I felt a lot of gratitude around it. But I just think they're just really interesting questions to ask. So I love that you brought that.
Yeah. And it's okay that if you don't know, that's why we did the journey. A lot of these journeys aren't necessarily about everybody knowing, having it work out and having it all be clarity in the journey. A lot of these journeys are about opening things up to questions and recognizing, oh, I've never considered that, whatever it is. So I love that you had some of those conundrums because now it's on your radar, you know, and especially with the stuff going on with your mom, you know, ideally this will help you sit better with her with whatever is going to happen there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Was there anybody else who wanted to share? We muted a few people just to help. Yeah. Gail.
I wanted to share about the first part. I don't want to go into too much detail, but I have an experience of that is bringing me pain, and I want to be able to have that experience without pain. Mm-hmm. And so I went back in time to when I could have that experience without pain, and it was hard to get past that but I did. And I really am grateful for that because I am going to keep practicing that so that in this illusion that I can try having the experience now without the pain.
Yeah, that's great. I love that you did something that was a past experience. That you can, maybe it's a current experience as well, but that leads me to remind people that it could be something that you want to shift the energetics of it, have a felt sense lived experience of it having been different, which we do when we do soul retrieval, and then you continue to work with that aspect. That's one way of shifting the energetics. But yeah, this is a great way as well to go back in the space that you're in now and have that experience without the pain that you, as you mentioned it. And so, yeah, the realms are really where everything's possible, and we truly create exactly what vibrational experience we choose. And if we believed it enough, we'd have instant manifestation right here.
So. It gives me hope. Yeah, I'm excited about it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing. Anybody else before we end for the night?
Just had up
a hand. Ember, I can't tell. Sorry, I can't see. I saw it. I need to put my glasses on.
There was Jess too, had her hand up, by the way. Just
okay, cool.
Okay. Does she want to go first?
Oh, you can go.
Okay. So like the second part for me was actually kind of easy. I don't know. It was like when I broke through and everything, it was like, oh, I've been here before. Like I know this place. This is cool. So that was a really good experience. The first part was a little bit scary. There was a lot of voices. Like, I don't know if anybody else heard the voices or not. I couldn't understand what they were saying, but it was almost like there was a really deep bass voice that was very intimidating, and then like a lighter voice, and it was sort of like they were arguing for space. So that was a really interesting thing, and I sort of wanted to check and see if anyone else happened to hear them.
I have a sense that that was your experience.
Yeah.
And you'll want to figure out which of those energies you want in your space. It's really important that you use a portal door. Mm-hmm. And create, I'm talking to everybody, not just you. We use a portal door specifically to create a medicine world that is only what you want to have there. Mm-hmm. So it's like in your house, if somebody was sitting there yelling at you and you didn't want them there, you'd go, bye-bye, out of my mm-hmm. house, right? It's the same thing with your house in the realm, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And having the authority, if these energy show up, if I were you, I would say, who are you? Mm-hmm. Are you here to support me? What, you know, and if not, they got to go. Mm-hmm. Because that can be, one, distracting, and two, may not be energies that you want there. And this is mm-hmm. an opportunity for you to be an authority with your medicine space. And the reason we close the portal door on the way back is also so that we don't just have random energies showing up. Just like you close your door of your house so the mosquitoes don't come in. It's not necessarily mm-hmm. personal to you, but if you leave the door open, things go, oh, look, an open door, right? Mm-hmm. That can happen sometimes. So definitely, and this is a great reminder, it's a great question. I appreciate you asking. It's a great question for everybody. If there is anything in your space that you don't like or you don't feel comfortable with or you're not sure what it is, you ask it. You find out. If it will not tell you who or what it is, bye-bye. Because if you need it and it's going to support you, it will find its way back in a way for that you're ready to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
I used to, when I very first started out, I would sometimes have I think this happened a couple times, like a cloaked being showed up. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what it was. And I said, who are you? And it wouldn't say anything. And I said, show me your face. And it wouldn't. And I said, you got to go. I'm not going to waste my time with energies that are not there totally 1,000% for my support. This is mm-hmm. my house. This is my medicine world. And part of creating your medicine world, I call it medicine world, your sacred space, that is your medicine world. And you are the, whatever you want to call yourself, you're the leader of that domain. You are the queen, king, whatever. You're the, you know, you're the head honcho there. And so be an authority in your space with energies that are coming in that you didn't invite in. It doesn't mean energies won't show up that maybe you didn't specifically invite in. Like maybe Archangel Michael shows up and you didn't necessarily say, hey, Archangel Michael, show up. But if anything's showing up that's distracting you like that and is not being supportive, then you really want to check in and find out if they need to be there.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because a lot of you all are super open to energies, and sometimes really supportive show up, and then sometimes energies that don't feel supportive show up maybe. And that's when you get to say, who are you? Are you here to support me? Because if you're not, you got to go. Like, don't mess around with energies that don't feel supportive. Like I said, if it's something that needs to work with you, it will come back in a way that it can show itself and work with you. That's not avoiding shadow work. We do a ton of shadow work.
Mm-hmm.
That's being discerning about who's coming into your space. I'm just sharing that for everybody. And that's a great question, and I really appreciate you mentioning it. So do you feel comfortable going in at some point and finding out who they are and cleaning house if you need to?
Yeah, awesome. I can do that.
Yeah, it's your world. They're just living in it. Okay. And Jess, did you want to say something?
It was really meaningful and awesome journey to do.
Get closer to your mic. Get closer.
Okay. Hi. Is that better?
Yeah.
Let's see, I guess I just, you know, I've had a lot of loss before. And so thinking and diving into death and shamanic journey is something that I tend to avoid. Something that I tend to like, okay, like we're all going to go there sometime, but it's best not to think about it too much because grief kind of has that way of just taking over. Mm-hmm. And so going into it in like a group setting and with so much container, it was really beautiful and really kind of cathartic, and just thought I'd share.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I feel like it's one of those subjects that we avoid. We're so focused on life. And yet when we can befriend death, that's freedom. That's really freedom, you know. Everything else kind of falls into place from there because we're not living with this unconscious fear or worry or even just completely blocking it out. We walk around on the planet like we're not going to die. I mean, we have to, you know, in order to keep doing what we're doing. If you're walking around every day looking for it, you know. So, I'm grateful. I considered not doing this journey tonight. And I thought, you know, every time I work with you all, I work with what Spirit has brought into my world. And what Spirit brought into my world was this death doula training. And it felt important to bring that medicine in here. And I was like, but the theme this month is freedom. I'm like, oh, right. That really is the ultimate freedom, being birthed into the oneness, and the freedom to live our lives to the fullest without fear of what comes next. And, you know, I would imagine my experience is it goes in waves. There's times when I'm like, I'm good. But there's times when, like this weekend, I went, oh, gosh, I'm really going to freaking die. Oh, you know, and I felt some of that attachment, too. And it just depends on the space I'm in. And I'm sure that's that way for a lot of people. But it really opened up a lot of great energy for me to be there and ponder my death and how I'd like that to look. And the whole weekend was very much centered around if you had 3 months to die, you know. And I shared with them that most of my experiences with people did not have 3 months. It was usually traumatic and unexpected or whatever. And so being able to hold space for people who have lost someone is also, I feel, we're more powerful to support them when we have done our work. You know, I was mentioning that to someone earlier today. We can be more available to hold space for those who have a loved one dying when we aren't carrying all our baggage around death as we sit there. And I know a lot of people who'd like to do volunteer hospice work. I think that's beautiful work. And so if any of you are interested in that, and also holding space for animals who are dying, is something that's important. So yeah, thanks, Jess. Anybody else before we close up? Anybody? I muted some people, so you'll have to raise your hand if you want to talk. Okay, cool. You are welcome to share in the group anything you like, because I'd love for the other people who weren't here tonight to hear how it was for you. I appreciate getting a chance to talk tonight. We don't usually do that so much afterwards. I'd like to do that from time to time, just to check in and see how it was for you. And just continue to sit with it and integrate it and play with it, have fun with it, be easy with yourself. You know, in that journey that I had where I'm sure I made it very easy for myself. My husband died in his sleep. So there, you know, and then I was in that journey that I told you about in the plant medicine ceremony. I was old, of course, cause that's how we want to be, is old and ready to go. And I had a heart attack and I had that fear. I couldn't get to the phone. I wanted to get to the phone and call for help and I couldn't get up to do it. And then it struck me, oh, I'm dying. And then I just saw all these beings around me and I went, ah, okay. And it was just so nice. But I did go through the fear first, which is very natural and normal. And the peaceful part came to me when I recognized there is support there. But that support is there for you right now. We don't have to wait till we die to link in with it. And a lot of people do. And that's what I love about this work. Like, we are going into those places while hanging out on the planet. And that's exciting to me. So thank you all for being here. If you have any questions or anything, you know, send an email or post it in the page, actually, is even better, because then everybody gets the benefit of the answer. And I'll be sure to post those links if you're interested in the 5 questions and the Inelda organization work, okay? Thank you, Erin and Gina Marie, for hosting.
Thank you.
Good job. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for being here. I can unmute some people and we can say goodbye. You can unmute people too if you want, Gina Marie. I was trying to mute a little bit where it seemed like there was noise. But yeah, I'm looking forward to October and the retreat. And I'll see y'all later. Thanks for being
here. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you.
Bye, everyone.